Thank you, Dustin. you can hear me, right? Thank you. This song, 636, for those of you who are participated in the Brother Nat Kong's memorial last Saturday, either in person or virtually, in my brief word at the end, I quoted stanza 5 of this song. It is one of those songs that most of us don't know, maybe have never sung, and therefore did not have a kind of appreciation for its message. I have sung it, but not often. Many of us would actually know the other hymn right next door to it. That's number 635, which and we also sang one of those verses from that hymn, that famous hymn. As we have done the research and so forth, was initially written in English. That song on the grapevine, but was poetically, because it's extremely poetic, using the story, the metaphor, the picture of the grapevine to depict a life, a way of the cross, indeed the way of fruitfulness, through the suffering of the vine, of a vine tree, eventually cheering wine is produced to gladden people's hearts, to supply joy and satisfaction. Of course, let me finish the story. So Brother Ni did a poetic translation, and Brother Ni is very, very have great skill with the Chinese language. He's just an exceptional writer in Chinese. But then he spoke about this hymn when his ministry was. I think during the time when his ministry was finally resumed, back in the late 40s, after a period of time of being, I wouldn't say cast out or excommunicated, but being lay aside, if you will, for 6 years long, during the wartime. The World War II period of time. And when he returned, he introduced, amongst other things, this hymn. And it touched a lot of people. Many people didn't know why he introduced this hymn, but Brother Lee, Witness Lee, eventually testified that he knew. This was simply a story about himself, Brother Ni himself. He didn't write this hymn, but that happened to be the story of himself and surely others like him over the years and maybe even the ages and centuries in the age of the church, referring to those lovers of the Lord who would take this way to follow their master, that is the way of denying oneself, the way of taking up one's cross, and the way of forsaking one's soul life, to lose their life in order to be where their master is. Anyone who wants to serve me, they should be where I am. And where is I am is on the cross. And yes, there would be resurrection beyond death. And in the Lord's case, there would even be an ascension for his full vindication and glorification. But it is through the gateway of the cross, of crucifixion and of death, that brought about such release of the divine life, such impartation of the divine life, producing fruit. I referred in my talk that day to the one grain in John 12 that fell into the ground to die, because if it did not, it will abide, would have abided alone. That means it will remain the same one grain. But if it dies, and those three words are important, and that's the first verse of this hymn. If it die, oh, hear the message falling from the Lord. If it die, it will bear much fruit. That's, of course, the Lord referring to himself, but not only so, referring to so many who will follow this pathway of the cross and would experience the same thing. Oh, how thousands, millions of fruit were born in this church age, in the centuries, including you and I sitting here as fruit, because of someone dying, because of some Christian not loving themselves, of falling into the ground. One such person clearly was Emmy Barber, Brother Watchman Nee's mentor in many ways, coming to this China as a with no mission support, no nothing that she could rely on, just to fall into the ground and die. And she literally died in China and buried. And today you couldn't even find her burial place. So if you can find it, you couldn't find her remains. It just like that. But out of this one seed falling to the earth, there were grains that were born, one of which was Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee followed this sister, Emmy Barber, to take the same way she took, that is the way of the cross, to die as well. And through his death, and eventually not only the death of his soul, but eventually the death of his own body, after 20 years of cruel and inhuman imprisonment, he died nameless. And when his relatives came to get his remains, he was already cremated, and all they gave him is some ashes. And I sometimes say, who knows, even those are the right ashes they gave them. Who knows under those conditions, really? That's all they got. And here is this man who have seen so much, given so much, and written so much, and spoke so much, changing the course of history and bringing in a consummate vision of the revelation that was released through the apostles and prophets in the first century. Just is gone, and like this. And so, yet, because of that, excuse me, today, so many are receiving the help and the supply and the nourishment and the riches and in untold ways, millions and millions. And you and I sitting here, I surely will testify to this, that I won't be sitting here without his ministry. Have simply cheered so many in the times after him. By the way, I don't know whether I mentioned the 635, this other hymn that I've been talking about here. it's a long hymn of 16 verses. I believe that the original English is maybe 14 verses, that the last two verses, 15 and 16, were actually written by Brother Nee himself. And then Brother Lee took this hymn, so helped by this hymn, so touched by this hymn, and further improved it. And then he brought it in their last time when these two brothers served together in Hong Kong in 1950. He brought his improved version to Brother Nee, and Brother Nee at that time further edited it, further improved it. And perhaps it was at that time, I'm not sure, I need to go back to do more research, is when he added those last couple of verses. And if you sing this song and know this song, you will know without those last two verses, this song is without an ending, proper ending or conclusion. But I would, for those of us who don't have the time, I suggest you sing the whole hymn verse by verse. I did that to muse, not just to sing it, but to muse on it, reflect on it, and pray over it. But if you cannot, I would at least suggest 8 stanzas. Number verse 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 8, verse 10, verse 13, and the last two verses, 15 and 16. Okay, so half, I selected half of the stanzas. If you don't have the time, better the entire hymn. And this 636 we just sang, verse 5, is really a short form, a summary of 635. Thou shalt learn the blessed secret. He shall live that dies. From a life poured out in secret shall a harvest rise. Now, this morning, being the last meeting, the talk of this series, of this quarter, and the Lord willing, we shall continue with another series in quarter 2 of this year. And do bear in mind, again, I'm not here to give some message. I'm here to just have a heart-to-heart always and almost a person-to-person talk with all of us. I have not prepared messages. I rather have prepared a burden. The death of Brother Nat Kong is still very much on my heart. I don't think we should just flippantly say, come on, let's just move on. I don't think that is the right attitude. Not that we are trying to remain in the past. It is not about that. But it is about learning. Let me put it this way. It is not even just about grieving, per se. It is about brothers and sisters learning from every situation, and particularly in extraordinary situations and uncommon situations like the death of our brother, to receive from the Lord, to seek the Lord, to find out from the Lord what message he may have for us, for me personally, and for us collectively as the church. And not let this, something like that, this that we have passed through together, so to speak, go to waste. I do that, and I like to do that. Talking about this matter of being vitalized, which has been our burden, talking about maintaining our spiritual appetite, we are talking really, brothers and sisters, about running this Christian race, really, this race, this course that God has designed, God has ordained personally for each of us to run in this life. And to run that, if you will, if you may, successfully, in a satisfactory way, to the one who ordained this course for us. And may I say, even to ourselves, that we can say, as Paul declared before his martyrdom, I have finished. Yeah, I have finished my course, or the course. The Lord measured a particular course for Paul, which is different from you and mine. All you can say is, I've finished mine. And that is not a small thing to say. You don't know how much grace, how much mercy, and how much suffering, and how much endurance behind those few words, I have finished. This course is not an easy one. This course is against the tide of this age. This course is not something a common person would just take. In this course, well, you say, what is this course? I will come back to the two hymns. This is the way of the cross. This is the way to fruitfulness. This is the way of death and resurrection. This is the way for us to eventually be fully renewed, sanctified, transformed, conformed to the Lord's image, and ultimately to be glorified in his glory. This is a way, you may say, of God's, this race, this course, is a course of God's economy in our personal lives. This is also the course of the church life, of the body life. Yes, we each individually must run this race, but in another sense, we run this race together. Draw me, we will run after thee. We will run after thee. And so this race course has to do with how we run the church life, how we do in the church life, how we end. I'll share our part in the church life for the building up of the Lord's body that is part of the race. How much did we serve? How much did we contribute to God's purpose? How much are we entirely committed to the Lord's heart's desire, his will, his kingdom, right? So that is part of the course. So Paul says, also, I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight. Fought the fight. He didn't just run the race. He fought every step of his way. The fight, because there's an enemy of God. as I reflect on Brother Nat again, I feel that he is surely a special vessel, a special case. You hear the testimonies of the saints in that memorial, a diverse number of saints and different age groups. I'm not here again to exalt any person, okay? We're here only to exalt the Lord. But we also have to thank the Lord and give praise to him for the work of his hands, the work of the potter in molding and making such a vessel. No, we're not talking about Apostle Paul here. We're talking just about Nat Kong. But with the way the Lord created him, with the way the Lord saved him, with the way he pursued the Lord, and by the way, may I say, here's a lesson. Someone who never, never drop his appetite, spiritual appetite. You agree with me? Until the end. 60 years old or 59 years old. But I'm still running, still receiving, still hungry, still pursuing. What a pattern. And of course, in so many testimonies, including mine, a life as depicted by these hymns, that is poured out, a poured out life. Poured out the woman poured out the alabaster box, the expensive nard on the Lord's head and body for the Lord's satisfaction, for the Lord's burial, really, and for the Lord's satisfaction. and poured out himself as a grain that fell to bear fruit. To bear real fruit, fruit in the form of persons and people, for the Lord's need, for the Lord's increase, for the church's growth. What a life is that, that poured out life. And really, it is based on that that I put together my little, I don't think you can call it eulogy, but my little word of memory of our dear brother. Well, I'm not morbid. I'm not trying to keep you all in a depressed state. I'm not doing any of that. But I am still, as I consider this morning's meeting, with much feeling. And I hope that you all, you may not know Nat or at all, but for a very little bit, but still, with what you have come to know now, I think we do well to remember such a one, and I would say even to emulate such a one, to run the race, our race, as the Lord has purposed it, similarly, and to finish that race in this way. You may say, oh my goodness, that was a horrible way to go. Well, humanly, I agree with you. But God only knows. God only knows why he did this. And surely he was taken by the Lord. So do not put your mind on the outward. Consider the inward, all right? The Lord gave him, and the Lord took him. And that by the time of his taking, this brother has really finished his course, and this brother has kept his faith, yeah? And this brother has fought his fight. And I have a different course. You have a different course. I don't know what is ahead of me, neither do you. But I aspire. I aspire now even more to finish my course. I aspire now even the more to finish my race. And if you read Paul's last words there in 2 Timothy 4, eventually he refers to this, that he was assured that there will be a crown of righteousness ready for him. And not only for him, but those who would love the Lord's appearing. So clearly, his eyes, the apostle's eyes, were set not on this age by that time, but on another age, which is the next, the age of the kingdom, where the Lord would have appeared, the Lord would have come again, the Lord would have established his kingdom on this earth. And there, Paul would be received this reward, this true reward of a crown of righteousness. And of course, he was one that loved the Lord's appearing. You know, to love the Lord's appearing simply means to love the Lord, right? And so, Nat is to me, a simple brother. It's not someone that you would notice, yeah? Who's someone who stands out, you know, someone who's eloquent and charismatic or none of the above. It's just a brother. I mean, one of his daughter even said, he's just an awkward person, you know? Is an awkward person, you know. But he is special, brothers and sisters. He is worthy of our imitating. imitating. Now, as I was thinking about him, I was thinking about others who have died that I knew recently. Brothers in the Lord, brothers in the church, and so on. And I'm not here to name any names or anything, just because there were others who have passed on. Only recently, I thought of one that is my age, someone that I knew very well because we served together in the very, very early days. This is back in the 70s. I thought of one that is probably more around 40 years of age. I would not go more into that. I would just like to say that as I reflect, as I consider this matter of how we end, E-N-D, yeah? How we end in our life, strikes me again as something that we should not only be aware of, you know, that I'm going to die or whatever, but to consider, to ponder before the Lord. Because this is a serious thing. It's just not about, okay, we all won't be here forever. It's not that. It's not that. It is considering, really, what are we doing here? What really is the purpose and meaning of our lives, not only as human beings, but as Christians. And not only as Christians, but as Christians who love and pursue Christ. And not only as Christians who love and pursue Christ, but as those who have seen something, some vision and revelation concerning God's eternal heart's desire and purpose. As someone, what is the meaning? What am I doing? You know, every day you get up, every night you go to bed, do all the things in the human life. What's it all about? What are we doing? You know, these questions should be asked all the time. And you need an answer to that. I hope that even through a word like this, brothers and sisters, you would all think about that and consider that, even with the backdrop of our brother Nat's passing. Think about that, you know. Brothers and sisters, we cannot say that we don't know why we're here in this age. We cannot say that. We know. We're saved, for one thing. So we know, and we've been under this ministry. We know that a whole lot is happening now in this age in our lives that is critical, that is important. we don't need to, you know, all the things in the word, in the ministry, and we know. Then we know also that there is a next age, don't we? And we know to some degree what that is about also, maybe not in detail, but enough about the Lord's coming and the next age of the kingdom. We know enough. It's supposed to be an incentive, right? And there would also be a disincentive there as well. We know that, that if we, and how we would be in the next age is determined by how we are in this age. And we know what we should look forward to according to God's desire. And we also know eternity. Do we not know? Can we say we don't know? Well, for sure, we have the eternal life, for sure. But I'm talking about that eternal goal of God to have or gain something called the New Jerusalem. That's not fairy tale. Well, maybe to some it is, but to us it is not. We know what the Lord wants in eternity according to his eternal plan and economy. We know that. And so with this knowledge of this age, our knowledge of the next age, and our knowledge of eternity, of course, not in all details. Many things we're not supposed to know. We don't need to know, but we know enough. And so that should position us, right? That should inform us. That should compel us to do certain things, to live in a certain way, to make certain choices, to prioritize our lives very, very readily. Unless we don't believe those things. If we do, then we have to do something about that. The choice you make, the decisions you make in your life, even the small decisions, should hang on that knowledge of today, of the next age, and of eternity. For those people who don't know, I think less is required of them from God. But for us who have been given and shown and revealed so much, so much, just consider how responsible we have to be to what is my, these deep things that have been revealed to us in Christ. And so poured out his whole life, Paul, for that. And so did many others. And many others know a lot less than us and still poured out themselves to the degree that, you know, according to the degree of their knowledge, and the Lord knows. Brothers and sisters, how shall we then live? To me, it is a very simple answer. Very simple answer. I should just live for this. I should just live to the Lord. I should just live for his purpose and his economy. I should just live for the church, his body, his bride. I should just live in the kingdom reality. There's nothing else worthy of living. You know, if you have this decision, and this decision, by the way, needs to be affirmed constantly. It needs to be repeated. You need to tell yourself. You need to tell one another as spouses in a marriage. It's like we need to, you know, Brother Lee told us we need to reconsecrate again and again and again. The same thing here. And if you make this judgment, Paul says, I have judged that Christ has died for me and rose again. I have judged. I will not live to myself, but to him who died and rose. Okay? So it's a judgment call. Paul made that judgment, that decision. We need to make that decision now, today. I think about how, in the case of these other two brothers that I just mentioned, how there was a period, some shorter, some longer, where they were distracted from this race. They went off from this race. Thank the Lord, at the end, they returned. I'm not here to judge people's hearts, because only God is the seer and knower of our hearts and inward parts. So I'm not doing that. I am saying, I do reflect and I do consider. And I would like to tell you, brothers and sisters, to know this way and to leave this way, even, or drop out of this way, even for a period of time, is a great loss. It's a great loss. And there's much speaking in the word that warn us accordingly, like Hebrews. Don't wander. Don't shrink back. You know, those are the words. Don't be distracted. Come forward. Remain in this race. Looking unto Jesus and the great cloud of witnesses. Run the race, right? Run the race. Those are warnings, strong warnings. Peter is full of warnings. And we need to be warned. We need to be warned. I thought of these things, you know, in the case of Matthew 13 or Luke 8, you know, on the parable of the sower, you know, the seed of the word. You have those four kinds of earth. The first one is the one that the person eventually didn't even get saved. You know, the word was snatched away. So that didn't happen to us. And the second kind persecutions and affliction that cause someone to be stumbled and give up. And this has happened. This has happened. Some, as we take this way, there are certain suffering that comes with it. There's certain, we talk about the way of the cross. We talk about certain kind of the all things, so many things that would happen to us. And then you get stumbled at a certain point. Stumble at a certain point. And you could not go on. You give up. You call it quits. That has happened. That has happened. But mostly, I'm burdened for the third kind. The third kind are the, anxieties of life. This is in Matthew. And the deceitfulness of riches. All right? And in Luke 8, it talks about three things, and that is anxiety, riches, and pleasures of this life, so that they cannot bring, the seed cannot bring fruit unto maturity. And this seed is unable, this earth is unable to bear fruit with endurance. And I like to just say a word here, brothers and sisters, especially the younger working saints. It is always these things that will hold us back, that will distract us, that will cause us not to grow and go on, cause us to lose our appetite, spiritual hunger. And that is what, that is anxiety of life, of this life, bios, the life that we live today. The needs, the this, the that, the anxieties, just like the world. Anxiety, Brother Lisa, is what drives the world and which makes the world go round, is anxiety. Anxiety for our living, anxiety for many things of our success. How about that? Anxiety for our achievement, anxiety for the physical things, anxiety for our children, anxiety for many, many things that the worldly people are anxious about and we are also anxious about. I don't mean that we are not, it's inhuman to say that we are never anxious. That's not what we're saying. But we are talking about anxiety becoming an obstacle, becoming these things that will impede our growth, that will distract us from on this race, that will keep us from going forward, cause us not to live a poured out life. The anxieties. And then of this life, the anxieties of this life, you know, so the Lord said, be anxious of nothing, right? The Lord said this concerning a kingdom living, the living of the kingdom people, but to live by faith, trust in the Lord. And today we are doing many things not unto the Lord and not for the Lord, because we're driven by anxiety. I would even say consumed by anxiety. Consumed by anxiety. And then you have what? The deceitfulness of riches. It's still deceiving mankind today. Money, riches, all these things deceiving us, deluding us, distracting us in that kind of attainment. You know, Paul in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, about the riches that are not trustworthy, you know? That's not exactly the word. What does it say there in Timothy? It's undependable, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, the uncertainty of riches. Don't set your hope on those things, but on God, who affords us all things richly for our enjoyment, express, and lay hold on the life that is really life, and so on and so forth. Brothers, the pursuit of riches, you know, today, you know, in your area, Northern California, it's just a place to pursue riches in the whole present-day realm of tech commerce, of so many, many things. And then the third thing is pleasures. You know, in the 2 Timothy says, in the last days, people will be a lover of self, a lover of what? Pleasure, right? And a non-lover of good and a non-lover of God. So these things are things that will what? That will reduce our appetite. In fact, these things become replacement of our appetite. We have appetite for these things. Great appetite, huge appetite, but no appetite for the Lord, for his word, for prayer, for the meetings, for the church life, for the gospel, for all these things. You know, the way Nat and Wanchi, they went to Eastern Europe for 13 years. Well, what have they gained? What have they attained? What have they collected and amassed? Nothing. But God does not look at those things. God look at the 30-fold, the 60-fold, the 100-fold fruit that he wants to see. One of the messages I'm going to give in this iteral time, talk about the Lord cursing the fig tree. The Lord cursed the fig tree, which is Israel. Fig tree should bear fruit and not just have a lot of leaves. The fig tree is not just to have a lustrous appearance. It is to yield food And so the Lord cursed it as he cursed the nation of Israel and replaced it by the church. And the church also failed, by the way. And so he needs the overcomers today to replace the church, to bring forth fruit, to bring forth fruit for his enjoyment. Brothers and sisters, the pleasures of this life, the pleasures of this life can distract us, can distract us from running the race, could reduce our hunger, or compromise it at least, compromise our spiritual hunger. And we start hungering after many things, have appetite for many things, and have less of an appetite and hunger and thirst for the Lord and the things of the Lord and the interests of the Lord. John has his own three things. John, the Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 2. He say, love not the world, nor the things of the world. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you, right? And how did he qualify and describe the world, or the things of the world? Three things he used. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and what? How can I forget? And the vain glory of life. The vain glory of life. So the desires of the body, the desires of the eyes, of the soul, I should say, and the vain glory, meaning the empty pride and boastings that one may have as a display of what they have attained and gained on this earth. Those are the things that would replace the love of the Father. It is called the love of the world. Brothers and sisters, these are the things that will destroy our spiritual appetite. And it can incrementally reduce our hunger. Before you know it, you look back, you say, where is my appetite? There are full-time saints who have been through the FTTA training. And when they were in the FTTA training, or even before, they sought the Lord as a young person, loved the Lord and pursued the Lord. And then after they graduate, after some time, that's gone. That pursuit is gone. Sure, they may still come to the meetings, or maybe they will, whatever, do something. But their heart, the intensity of their love and heart for Christ and the church is just has abated, has cooled down, has died into an ember rather than a fire that they used to have. I have seen this over and over again. And you feel so sorrowful and so sad. And that's why a story like Brother Nat Kong just is so reviving and so encouraging to our faith, to my faith for sure. It's so energizing. It is so testifying, causing me to run with even greater endurance than ever. Now, I like to end this part with something maybe positive, or as an antidote, if you will. Also three things. And this is something mentioned by Peter now, in the second epistle of his. This is a great passage, and that is the first part of chapter 1, all right? So there, Peter mentioned three things that have been given to us, brothers and sisters. They have been given to us, allotted to us, apportioned to us, no doubt about it. Number one, it is the let me see here, in 2 Peter. Number one, it is the, it is the precious faith. We have been allotted the precious faith, the equally precious faith. Oh, I tell you, this faith that has been transfused into us, given to us by God, which, by the way, is really God himself, Christ himself, this allotted faith that we have received. Number one, we have this faith, brothers, this precious, precious faith. Number two, we have been given the divine power. It's been granted to us. All things related to life and godliness, the power that is able to work out all these things of our life and in our expression of this life. We have been granted these things. Number one, we have been allotted. Number two, we have been granted the capacity, the ability to live by this life, to live this life, to live godly in this present age, to live Christ. And then number three, we have been also granted the great promises, the precious and great promises, through which we can partake of the divine nature, and through which and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. These three things, brothers and sisters, we have been allotted and given and granted, all right? Let me say this again. Number one, the precious faith. This faith is both objective and subjective, okay? They are two ends of the same stick. This wonderful truth and faith, the faith, the objective faith, all the content of the whole New Testament, the whole Word of God, it has been given to us. And also, out of our response to this faith, there is this subjective believing ability that allows us to apprehend these contents, to enjoy these contents, to make these contents ours, all of the things. That faith has been given to us. It's power. It's precious, precious. And number two, that the divine power. There's a power, brother, to just always say, I'm weak, I cannot do this, is not right. The power has been given to us. This dynamo, this divine dynamo has been installed in us, this million wattage, voltage dynamo of this divine power is in us, enabling us to do what we cannot do, to overcome, to run the race, to finish the course, to keep the faith, if we would avail ourselves to it. And number three, the great promises. What other promises do we need than the promises given to us in his word? Brothers, you get into the word, you pray this word. Each one is a promise. The whole Bible, every verse is a promise from God. Through this promise, we can partake of the divine nature. Now, after Peter said that, he said this. For this very reason, because all these wonderful things have been given to you so that you can go on, he said what? Add all diligence and supply bountifully in your faith virtue and virtue, knowledge, all right? And in knowledge, self-control, self-control, endurance, and endurance, godliness, and in godliness, brotherly love, and brotherly love, love. So what he's talking about here, that is what? That is all these things will, that depicts our growth, right? Are, will be yours. And these things are existing in you and abounding in you. And it will cause you, it says here, to be neither idle nor unfruitful, idle nor unfruitful, but what? All these things will what? Eventually will, through your diligence, give you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord. Will be, you will be supply an entrance into the kingdom, the next age, in the next age. Brothers, this is a great encouragement to all of us. I believe, in a small way, that our brother Nat partook of these things, enjoyed these things. He did not do this by his own strength, by his own energy, but by these things that is a lot that were allotted and given to him, he was able. The smallest of us, the least noticeable of us, we all can finish this race. We all can complete this course as the Lord has willed, as the Lord has willed. And not just for our spiritual attainment or success or even maturity, but, dear brothers and sisters, for the working out of God's heart's desire, for the working out of his eternal intention, for the building up of his body, for the preparation of his bride. Look at, again, the world today. What is going on? We don't know all that is happening behind the scenes, but we know enough if we study the word. All things are incrementally pointing to the same direction, and that is the end of this age. But those are the signs, those are the outward happenings, those are the prophecies, and they will happen regardless. But what we have seen, brothers and sisters, that is besides the world situation and so on, there's this outward human history, there is a divine history going on. And that is what is important for us in these days. Don't be consumed by all the things happening out there. More than ever, we need to focus on these things. And so I hope that my little speaking today, even though I didn't really get into this matter of the hunger, I may say a few words maybe after our break, would really stir up our hunger and refresh our appetite. Please take these things to the Lord in prayer, very, very much in these days. I stop here, brothers. Maybe time for